Okay, we're going to go ahead and get into our word. Last time I spoke here, I spoke about the constancy of life. Why don't I change?
I forget. I'm so used to. When I started out, I always had a handheld. Well, catch. Been going like that all morning. That's all right. Spoke about the constancy of light. And it was the natural light, of course, that we were talking about. We always cross over to what it means. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament, but it was very important. The creation of God is a shadow of our light, and it was a good thing as well. And so we're going to continue on today. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light there is the word phos. It means to shine, or to make manifest, or seen, or apparent. And especially by rays. And darkness means dimness or obscurity. As we spoke previously, that the speed of light is in a vacuum is 186,282 miles per second. That's seven times around the world in 1 second. That's fast. I was told that it is not possible for matter to travel at the speed of light. And these were some of the smart people that I knew, the physicists, the ones that, you know, studied the subjects that I avoided in school. Let them have that, right? I just talked to them later. I didn't cheat on their papers. I'm just saying. I asked them these things. And I was once told that it's not possible for matter to travel at the speed of light, that is, the denseness of that we know as matter, at the speed of light, and it remains, and that it will remain matter. If it ever traveled at the speed of light, this one source told me that it would turn into pure energy. The apparent only aspect of us that interact with the speed of light would be our eyes. The light enters our eye, and if there's an image, the image then is reflected to the back of our eye, and then it's interpreted by the brain as whatever image it is, and then we act upon it, or we draw it. For people that just do art, or you're driving, we interact with light through our eyes. So there's an aspect of us that reacts, in a sense, with light. But just think about it. If a man breaks the speed of sound, and when he breaks the speed of sound, which is much slower than light, you get this sonic, what they call a sonic boom. I mean, it sounds like thunder. Wham! And that's so much slower than light. What in the world would happen if a man ever reached the speed of light? A man. The matter. What in the world would happen? Yeah, I know, mathematically. But I'm just saying, lend me your imagination on that. I wonder what would happen. Now, physics tells us that matter cannot be destroyed, that it only changes forms. So wood, for instance, it's made of slowly moving molecules. Real wood. This ain't. This is an example of real wood. It's made of slowly moving molecules. But when that wood is burned, the movements of those molecules speed up until something happens. The wood begins to change. It turns into smoke, and it turns into ash, and it emanates heat. Is heat wood? Is smoke wood? It's flesh would? No, it doesn't. Yet these three components develop from a change brought about by fire or an effect upon wood. And so a lot of times, things that we see now are made up of possibly something different than what we're looking at. Hebrews says that. So the things which we've seen are not made of things which do appear. And so it's just kind of an exercise for our mind. Let's pray, and then I'll go ahead and pick up this message here. Lord, we are so grateful to you today for light. Light in its many manifest forms. We thank you, Lord, that you cared enough for us to leave your throne in glory to come, become a man, and die on the cross. On this earth, you died in our stead. You were just as much man as though you were not God, and you were just as much God as though you were not man. In a sense, God and man died on the cross. And we thank you that you represent us in heaven now. We thank you that you continue to intercede for us. We thank you that we belong to you. And Lord, you belong to us. Now touch our hearts and minds today that we might hear your truth. Help us to hear and to comprehend. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Jesus talked to fishermen, he talked with them about what? Fishing. He talked to them about it. When he spoke to farmers, he spoke to them about farming, sowing and reaping. When he spoke to the woman at the well, he spoke to her about water. In terms that each group comprehended it, that they comprehended and understood. Fishermen had no problem understanding what Jesus was saying, except that he was always teaching a spiritual truth when he spoke to them. He was always pointing to the kingdom of God. He was always pointing. So the woman, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. You would never have to draw again. And he says to fishermen, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And he spoke in terminology that they comprehended. And I want to just encourage you today, as I've had in the past, that when you listen to the message today, I want you to listen not only to what I say. I want you to listen to what God says to you on the inside of you. You will hear, and everyone will hear from God, individual messages, personal to you. How he does it, I don't know, but that's how this works. He speaks to each individual right where they are in their own terminology. So, if you hear within you, you ain't got it right, don't worry, it's just as orthodox as thou misunderstandest. Amen? Okay, so it'll be in your terminology, but pay very close attention. And when I get those messages, I usually try to jot them down somewhere because they're kind of hard to hold on to because this is a spiritual thing that God does when he communicates. If the Bible says that it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, you see that foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It took me years to realize that, wait a minute, what is he calling me? Okay. When it hit me, I said, hey, wait a minute. But it pleases him through the foolishness of preaching. Jesus. I am happy to say to you this morning, it's the light of the world. Peter. Genesis 1 talks about the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God. And he got all his message. If you got a problem with God being there in the beginning, you got a problem with the whole Bible. You got a problem with anything that has to do with God. If you get it wrong at the very beginning, everything that you touch and do down the road is not going to be right. It's like building a foundation or laying a foundation. If you don't lay that foundation correctly, I don't care how beautifully the edifice is, it is unstable and will be subject to whatever it is that will affect that flawed foundation. So the foundation, in my estimation, is the most important part of the building because it's got to be right. And then you build. You can always build on the foundation if it's right. But if the foundation is right, you know what you got to do? You got to tear the whole foundation up and do it again. And so the foundation is this. In the beginning, God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything came out of him. He is the initial source of all that we see even who we are. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning, he made a statement, let there be light. The Bible says there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And so, light is good. He saw it, it was good. And then he did something. He took the light and he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. He hadn't even made the sun and the moon just yet, but he already had identified day and night without the sun being in the picture as far as the Genesis account goes. So he had already made the separation there. So a couple of points. God saw the light, and it was good. Number two, only God can divide light from darkness. Only he can. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner, that has to do with the mental aspect, is a discerner, discerning aspect, of the thoughts and intent of the heart. It goes on in verse 13, says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in his sight, but all things are naked or apparent and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Nothing is hid from him. Nothing is hid from him. Have you ever thought, I have, at night you go to bed, typically sometimes we leave lights on, but if you turn all of the lights out and you go to bed and you open your eyes, you can't see a thing. But when you go to sleep and dream, it's illuminated. It's like daytime. You're seeing figures and you're hearing sound and things are going on somewhere in there because it's closed out. But somewhere in there, there's a light going that's illuminating the visions that you're seeing in your dreams. That's an aspect of us that we simply just take for granted. We don't think about it. I had a dream last night. Wait a minute. Well, I saw so-and-so. So. Wait a minute. Were you asleep? Yeah. Were your eyes open? No. I don't think so. I was sleeping. But you still saw something, didn't you? Yes, I did. Very vivid. I've woken up from dreams and said, thank goodness. That was a dream. Wake up praising God because it was some terrible situation. And they are just as real to you emotionally in a dream as it would be in any situation in life. You get just as much stress. You get just as much worry and problems and troubles in you. I find myself trying to figure out how to make this work and how to fix this situation. And I'm asleep. So what is light? Light is the bright form of energy that's given off by something like the sun, for instance. And it lets one see objects. It lets you see. It also represents public knowledge, something that helps one to know or to understand. And so, of course, we always talk about physical light, but it's also a light of understanding that opens up your understanding to help you to see things. In Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights. Now he puts the light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that would be the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that would be the moon. Now, according to Wikipedia, which is an online source of information, it says the full moon is 500,000 times fainter than the sun. Fainter. 500,000 times fainter than the sun. And that only 13.6% of sunlight incident on the moon is reflected. That is, we only see the light that we see from the moon. We're only seeing about 13 or 14% of the light that actually hits the moon. And on a full moon, it can get pretty bright. And it's only 14% of the light, so that gets to us. That's not the action going on that we don't know about, but it's still there. We're only seeing about 14% of it. And they were there to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw again that it was good. The heaven, I say, to rule the spirit, and the earth to rule the physical man, the body of man. The heavens, the higher part of man, and the earth, the lower part. Colossians 3:1 tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye then be risen with Christ. That's what being saved means, that you have been risen with him. You were buried with him in baptisms and raised with him to walk in newness of life. As a Christian, we are with him, and we're experiencing what he's experiencing. We are a part of him now. We have been risen with Christ. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, stop feeling. Because feelings are responders. You cannot go safely by your feelings. Without light, all you're going to do is grow. The Word of God is the light that we need to walk through this earth. We need that. And when we don't walk by the Word of God, we're walking in darkness. You're going to go by your own thing. Surely, you probably made all A's in school. Maybe you were very smart in school. And I know a lot of you were smart in school. But you're going to go by that. You're going to depend on that. And we're here to tell you that at best, you're broken through life. Your decisions will be natural decisions. They will be earthly decisions. Your actions will be natural and earthly actions. If you belong to Christ, you're far above that. So why are you continue to walk in that area? We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk according to the Word. To walk according to the Word, my friend, you've got to understand it. You've got to know the Word. There's one part of knowing the Word that's called epignosis. That's where God reveals his truth to you. It's not a thing you can do to get it, except that he will reveal it to you. Then there's another part of knowledge called gnosis, where you study and get. You come with your understanding, with your experiences. It's the natural part of you. It's the gnosis part that you have the responsibility to read and study the Word of God and spend time in prayer with him. It's the gnosis part that's our part. You don't just get saved and say, well, I'm saved now. I'm going to go back and do like I always did. No, no. He didn't save you for that. He saved you to glorify him. And to the extent that you are not glorifying him, you got trouble with God. You've got trouble with him. And so you're not living up to your potential in him. This is good news, y'all. Because what I just said now could help resolve many of your problems and situations if you would take it to heart. And take your Bible and open it up and read and get the instruction. I'm not saying you got to read it in a year. I'm not saying you got to read it in 2 years. But read something. Be prayerfully reading something in his Word. And please don't go back in the Old Testament where he killed the Amalekites and destroyed whole cities of people. That ain't going to help you. Where are you going with that? Yeah, go to the new, to where we are. You can use the old as a confirmation or something, but you don't want your doctrine out of that. You want your doctrine from the new. N-E-W-U. I implore you. Push past this natural tendency to trust yourself in this arena. There's some parts you must trust. You better look at the light. You better watch the traffic light. You better look both ways before you cross the street. You better be careful what you eat. These are things, these are different. As natural people, we need to know this in order to survive. Otherwise, we wouldn't do something. I think it's kind of off to say, well, I got faith that I can walk across this street and God won't let me get hit. I heard a man on a bus, got on the Greyhound bus, and the bus driver said, that's going to be $15, $20. He said, God, this is my ticket. He said, sir, you need to pay. You need to have a ticket. He said, God is my ticket. So the next stop, state trooper was waiting there for him when he took him off the bus and locked him up. And that's presumptuous, you know. Say, go with, you always say, go with God, my brother. you gotta just plain common sense type deals, right? You want to pay for the tickets and all that. So set your affections on things above. On setting your affections, Matthew 6:33 clearly tells us, through the words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, listen, that's just one verse, but that is a powerful verse, very powerful for you. If you begin to do this now, I don't know that you or I know how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but God knows. God knows how. And so that's when we need to have that communion and time with him. He goes, how do I take advantage of this? I say, Lord, what does that mean? How do I seek you? How do I seek your kingdom? How do I seek your righteousness? And then I wait for him to show me. I wait for him to tell me. I might get a phone call and somebody might just start talking. And I'm thinking, whoa, man, thank you. They won't even know that God is using them to speak. Or I might find a scripture and it would open the whole thing up for me. But I can tell you that your physical needs and your earthly needs will be met. He said that did you see that? This is his promise. Think ye first. It starts out, think not what you will eat or drink or what you will put on, for the life is more than the meat and the body more than the clothing. All these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Y'all believe that? I know. It's easy to say, yeah. But do you know what belief means? That you act. Faith without works is dead. It's that you act. That's when your belief is received. We can have a mental assent and mental agreement. That's a very easy thing to do. But when you walk out of here, do you begin to seek him? Lord, what is your kingdom now? What does that mean? How do I do that? And began to seek him. And then accepted that he will give it to you through this higher knowledge or epignosis that will be revealed to you. He will show it to you. You'll recognize it. His spirit will touch you. It'll be illuminated to you. You'll recognize it and you go and you begin to do it. And then the clothing and the food and all of that, the Bible says, will be added to you. That's what it says. They will be added to you. Now, that's a little light right there that's been shined in that area for you, and now it's up to you. I can give it to you, but it's up to you what you do. Light is a very essential and important part of life. No light, no vegetation. No light, no warmth. Mankind, animal life, would either starve to death or would freeze to death with no sun. So, very important. The very entrance of light dispels darkness. Very entrance. What is darkness? It's the absence of light. That's darkness. Utter darkness. The complete darkness. No light at all. Twilight is a small infusion of light. Oh, that's kind of like that offensive kind of light, right? It's a small infusion of light. But when bright light appears, the darkness. Light overcomes darkness. You know why? Because God said that the light was good. Darkness cannot overcome light. We know that in the natural, and I'm telling you in the spirit. The darkness in your world cannot overcome the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to walk in the spirit. John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We memorize John 3:16, but we need to memorize John 3:17. Because Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. Then it goes on to say that he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And see, it goes right back to deeds, actions, deeds. I can say I love him, but what do I do? I can hear what you do a whole lot louder than what you say. You want to know what's in a person's heart? You can also know by the words that come from their mouth, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the actions really show. Verse 20 in John 3 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And John 16 tells us that the Holy Ghost came for the purpose of reproving or convicting men of sin. That's why the preaching is so foolish. That you can hear this man stand up and speak, but you hear something else happening on the inside of you. And it may or may not even fit with what's actually coming out of my mouth, but the Holy Ghost is working. And he works to convict men. Have you ever been convicted of sin? Have you ever been convinced of your sinfulness? If you haven't, you haven't arrived yet. If you've been listening and sitting under the word of God, conviction of sin will come. I am a witness that it does. Because I know personally. When I was out doing my so-called evangelistic work, you know, the Lord took me off the evangelistic field and said, "I want you to go to the haven of rest." And he gave me specific words to say. And he said something to me. He said, "Because you need integrity." Oh, boy, did I get upset with him. You mean I need integrity? You know, already I was showing a lack of integrity with the attitude. But I got a real attitude. I'm like, I didn't like that. Because I did come off the evangelistic field and I did what he said. But my feelings was hurt that he would dare point that to me. Until I got to the haven of rest and started realizing just how bad off I was. He was pointing stuff out at me. I'm like, oh my God. I learned so much about my lack of integrity when he took me off the evangelistic field. Why did he do it? To save my life. Because I was out there with wrong doctrine, incorrect thoughts, incorrect ideas, thinking the wrong way about the devil, thinking the wrong way about God. I was the big man that came to save you and cast everything out and heal you. And I'm not a healer. God heals if he chooses to. But that wasn't my way. And he said, you need some attention. Come and stop. In my mind, I was doing great. But he that doeth truth, the Bible says, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought or made or performed in God. And so, the ones that have that truth of the correct sounding board that can hear and receive the word of God will hear it and receive it. There's some people, you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. They just got their minds made up. I'm going to go this way. And the Lord said, this, don't cast your pearl among swine. I don't mean to, you know, talk down on anyone. But every once in a while, you run into that individual. As much as you love them, and they will be family members, they will be good friends. As much as you love them, if they won't hear this gospel, ain't a thing you can do to put it in. You can pray, but it's between them and God. In John 8, we have an incident. I'll show you this one incident here, at least a couple. The woman, you remember this woman? The one that was caught in adultery. Oh, boy. They killed a day about adultery. Caught in adultery. She was brought unto him, Jesus the light. And they said to him, hey, master, this woman was caught and she was taken in adultery. This is not a rumor. We caught her in the act of adultery. Now, that's kind of hard to get out of once it will. We caught her. Now, Moses said in the law, and he could commanded us that such should be stoned, killed. But what says thou? What do you say, Master? And you know, they were tempting to catch him in his words so they could have something to accuse him of. Now, they quoted the law of Moses, which was a very legitimate law. Very legitimate. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say a word. He stooped down and began to doodle on the ground with his finger. He wrote something on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. And they continue, we're talking to you. Answer our question. Tell us, what do you say? And he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at them first. So, in agreement with the law of Moses, let the sinless one throw the first stone. Again, he stooped down and began to doodle on the ground. Just a little make, I don't know what he was writing. And they which heard it became convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the oldest one, unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when he lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. That apparently he wasn't even looking up. He was just not even watching them, just writing on the ground. And so he looked up, and he didn't see anyone there but the woman. He said unto the woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath any man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said to her, and this is gold, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's a good message, y'all. That's your message. Jesus does not condemn you. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn sin, but to save, that men might be saved. He didn't come to condemn it. You don't have to go far to find a message from the pulpit where nothing but condemnation is coming down on the heads of those poor, unfortunate people. And they walk out depressed, they walk in depressed, and they walk out more depressed. Nothing was lifted off of them. But Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Just be careful with this sin thing. Because the sin will condemn you in your conscience. Are you hearing? It'll attack you in the area of your conscience. So we've got to know how to handle our consciousness and sin in our conscience. And the Word of God tells you how to handle the sin in your conscience. It says to confess it to God. To confess it to Him. Not to me. Not to Matthew or Tom or anyone. I'll listen, Tom, but I can't forgive you. It's between you and God. He went on in verse 12 of this, and he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow him, you won't grow in life by following some other convention. You will have the light of life. That's what he said. The words that Jesus spoke that day brought conviction of sin to those scribes and Pharisees. They were convicted. Such conviction that they abandoned their plan. That is a heavy conviction because they had the law of Moses backing them. And he asked one question, and they even abandoned the law of Moses and they left. But those same words also brought forgiveness and liberty to the woman. The very same words convicted them of sin and brought her liberty and freedom. The same life. The same life brings conviction of sin. It also brings freedom. just don't sin no more, because if they catch you again, so, you're dead. You're dead. You know, sin and death are co-partners. Even as we walk and live in this world today, as we interact with sin, sin brings death. Even in our spiritual existence, sin brings death. No life comes from sin. He says, go and sin no more. How about the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 1? As he passed by, the Bible says that he saw a blind man who was blind from his birth. He was born blind. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What's that mean? That means when opportunity presents itself to you. When a door of ministry opens up to you, take it. That's during the day. That means their minds are open. They're ready to receive. Don't say, well, I need to think this over. Don't think it over. Minister while it is day. The night comes when no man can minister. And he said, this is me. I must do the work. And as long as he says, as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he did something strange. He spat on the ground and he made clay, a little paste there. And he took and he anointed the man's eyes. I can imagine the day someone, you know, don't put that. They're not going to want you to put. This man was blind, and he made a paste, and he anointed the man's eyes. Then he said, now I want you to go and wash in the pool that's called Siloam. And he went and washed, and he came seeing. He didn't like this. He came seeing. And this gospel washes our eyes. So we have to look at this in the proper context. Folks say, well, Jesus healed the blind, so we should heal the blind. You're not going to heal all of the blind people. Forget it. The Bible says that everyone came to him for healing, received healing. But everyone that comes to me to receive healing has not received healing. Every once in a while, something tweaks through. But for the most part, they don't. Because it's not as much about physical healing as it is about spiritual healing. Why would God heal someone so they could go and sin more efficiently? Which is what they're going to do. If no Jesus is in, they're going to take that and kick that leg out. Hey, I'm going to the club tonight where I'm going to dance like I never danced before. And he heals them, and they go out and they just dance up the place and say, man, I ain't never seen nobody move like that. I'm happy I got healed today. No Jesus. Why would he do that? Why would he do that and then I still got to die? There's something else going on here that we need to see. There's something else that's higher and more important than just this. I wish to God I could heal. But listen, it just doesn't happen that way. Every once in a while, a headache might leave, or a pain might leave a body, something, and I'm still just as amazed. But God has really pointed me more towards the gospel, which heals the whole person. It makes you whole, because there's no way around this one truth that we have experienced here. We're going to die. The important thing is, what happens after that? Where will we go? If I don't give you that truth, I have failed. If you come up here and I lay my hands on you and your eyes are open and you can see clearly and you still don't have Jesus Christ, I have failed to minister properly to you. I have. But you'll be really appreciative. That man Leroy, he's all right with me. But you're going to die and go to hell without him. So it's more important to have Jesus than to have 20/20 vision. More important to have Jesus than to have a completely whole body. So it's good to have him and 20/20 vision and a completely whole body. But if you got healed, don't have him, you're going to hell with a whole, with a healed body, with a whole body. And so he's showing us, saying, listen, what I'm trying to say to you, and in the end, he entered into death. And he came out. The Bible in Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. For this cause came Jesus into the world to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says that he died and he went into death to destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And then the Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that's the last thing we face on this earth, is death. We're going through that door, but I'm so glad that absent from the body, for me, it's going to be present with the Lord. And y'all will cry over this encasement, but I won't be there. I will have exited and left. But I'll come back later to pick it up. Good news, man. I'm coming back later to pick it up. We're going to see these people again. Lincoln ain't going to have that bag on him. He's not going to have that walker thing. The walker might be trailing behind him, but it won't be in front of him. When we see him, he's going to be completely whole. The Bible says again, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Bottom line, if you're born again, you can see. And if you're not born again, once again I say, it's between you and him. Accept this offer that he has for me. Accept. And I'm not going to say to you, I know you say, that's a disservice. You need to know that you say. Are you hearing me? You need to know that you're saved. And maybe next week we'll bring another message just to show just what to look for in your life so that you can really identify exactly where you are. It's a hard message, but it's a good message. Listen, we need Jesus more than anything else. The preaching is foolish, but it's good. So that the entrance of his word comes life. And you can find your way in this world if you will not have to cope with the light of Christ. Because otherwise, did you know that men without Christ go by fear? They go by what they fear. You make them mad, look out, you got wrath to deal with. You make them sad, then you got that to deal with. They go by their feelings. Well, thank God for feelings. But feelings are responsible. And the only reason they go by feelings is because they cannot see. That's why the gospel is so important to this world. That men might receive the true life. Given only by Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and sit at your feet and to hear your truth. Lord, let us remember this and hold tight to these truths concerning you, the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to appropriate these things in our lives. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of this wonderful food, this wonderful life that you've given us. Father, bless those that are absent today, those that are sick, those that are shut in, even the bereaved families that have lost loved ones. You know where the Christian loved ones are. So we just thank you today once again. Bless everyone that came today. Touch their lives. Be with them. May they walk out of here, Lord, with the light of Christ shining in their soul. And may they begin to see exactly where they're going in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.